Welcome to the Grace to You audio blog. After you hear what John MacArthur says, stick around and find out how to get in on the conversation.
I picked up a copy of Time magazine, and the cover said, "How Man Evolved. Amazing new discoveries reveal the secrets of our past." And the article is titled, "Up from the Apes." Talks about remarkable new evidences filling in the story of how we became human. And it's just more of the same old impossible fabrications that have been debunked again and again and again and again. They continue to force the issue. The thing that struck me was I noticed on the cover of Time magazine that Stephen Jay Gould had written an article in this edition on the creationism wave. In Stephen Jay Gould's case, he's a formidable professor of geology at Harvard and New York University, and he is a rabid anti-Christian. He says, and I quote, "No scientific theory, including evolution, can pose any threat to religion. For these two great tools of human understanding operate in complementary fashion in their totally separate realms. Science is an inquiry about the factual state of the natural world. Religion is a search for spiritual meaning and ethical values." I don't know this man. I don't know much about him. I know he's not an honest scientist. That much I do know. And whatever level of scientist he might be, he is even less a philosopher. Because there would be few people who would affirm that one's view of the origin of the world has no implications in terms of morality, values, or spiritual life. He further says, "No factual discovery of science, that is, statements about how nature is, no factual discovery of science can lead us to ethical conclusions, that is, how we ought to behave, or to convictions about intrinsic meaning, that is, the purpose of our lives." So what he is saying is that there is no connection between science and how nature exists and why it exists, or how we ought to behave, or how we ought to find meaning in our lives. In other words, he is completely free as a scientist to do whatever he wants and to claim that it has absolutely no ethical implications whatsoever. Frankly, nothing could be further from the truth. And without begging the issue, I just want to make a suggestion of some things that are implications of an evolutionary view. Here are some very serious matters that have to be considered. If we are nothing but the end of some evolutionary process, if we're just another kind of animal, if we're just educated apes, if we're just one step removed from a baboon, if we've just come out of the slime in the evolutionary animal chain by sort of natural selection, if we've been in this battle and happened to survive as a progeny of the fittest along the way, if we're just part of what is material, it has tremendous implications. Tremendous. Let me just suggest some of the categories of implications. First of all, would be the implication in the field of criminal punishment. The implication in the field of criminal punishment. If we are the noble product of the survival of the fittest, then how could anybody possibly be punished for killing somebody? Isn't that how we got here? We don't hold a trial for a cougar that goes into the ranch and kills the farmer's sheep, do we? We don't have a trial for the killer whale that gobbles up the tuna fisherman's crop. We don't execute the coyotes that come down and eat the rabbits in the backyard that you're trying to raise. We don't go to Africa and kill all the lions because they eat up all the antelope. In fact, we do the opposite. We try to preserve all of those quote-unquote noble species. If it's noble then to survive, and if it's noble in the process of survival to kill, why all of a sudden when we get to humanity do we make it a crime punishable by incarceration for life and sometimes death? Why? How is it any different? How is it any different? If I'm nothing but a glorified baboon, In fact, if you want to be rational about the whole thing, there's a whole lot of people in the society who could be categorically put in the segment of society called debilitating, having a retarding influence on the progressive nobility of man, and they should be summarily executed. You wind up with Adolf Hitler being your greatest hero. That's pretty severe implications, don't you think? If you're nothing but an animal, if you got where you are by the survival of the fittest, then why do we punish criminals? And on the basis of what law? Where does law come from? And where does justice come from? Do you know anything about courts among monkeys? Do you know anything about lawyers among monkeys? Judges? Policemen, jails, the whole understanding of criminal behavior is transcendental to a material world. The reason the Bible advocates punishment of criminal behavior, the reason the Bible advocates capital punishment is because man was created in the image of God, and to take his life, to commit a crime against him, is to malign the image of God. It is to intrude upon the wonderful and glorious freedoms which he enjoys, having been created in the image of God. Take away the image of God, make man into an animal. You have no justification for punishing him for any kind of crime.
Thanks for listening. Now go to gty.org/audioblog and get involved in the conversation. That's gty.org/audioblog.